All right, so we do want to begin by asserting that prayer is a central part of the Christian's life. And I think that's kind of a simple assertion to make. I think everyone is fully in agreement with that. We're told in Philippians 4 by the Apostle Paul, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that is, of course, a promise. The promise in the latter part of that, if you do that, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But the first part of it is an expectation, in fact, a requirement of God that we talk with Him and we express our needs and express our thanksgiving, express our praise to Him. It has been said that prayer is our way of communicating to God. And don't expect, I know in the world they have things they talk about is the still small voices or the signs or those kinds of things. God has revealed His will to us totally in His Word, and we have all that we need from Him to know the direction that we are to go in our lives. But those needs that we have in special circumstances of our life, God works providentially in the affairs of men in the way in which we can let God know, though He knows already, but that we can express that need, which we are told that we are to do. We can express that need is through prayer. And so that is an important part of our lives. The last thing I want to note in those paragraphs that are beginning our page is the third paragraph. And because this is the reason why we're talking about prayer today. As we consider the use of prayer, not only is it that praise for God and the blessings for ourselves, but we can also petition God on behalf of other people. There are so many intercessory prayers that are found in Scripture. It's very commonplace. There is command after command after command for us to intercede on behalf of others, to make supplications on behalf of others to the Almighty God of heaven. And it's something that should be a central part of our prayer life. Prayer is not the place to be selfish. Prayer is a wonderful place to express what I refer to in my prayer as the imperative of love. The most important part of our Christian existence is love. Everything emanates from that. We can show our love for our fellow man in asking God's help on their behalf. Now, that may require us to need to know their needs, to be aware of those things, to be mindful of those things, but it is something that as we present our petitions before God on behalf of others, it's one of the best expressions of what it is to be a Christian and show that imperative of love in your life. Okay? So that's what I wanted to share from that first paragraph. Anybody have any questions or comments before we get into the verses? Yes, please.
I'm glad you pointed it out what you did. Providential, because too many people today in our society call that the Holy Spirit. It's two different things. Providence is the will of God, things that we may never understand, but it's our trust and faith in Him that keeps us from taking that road that doesn't allow us to take it. It's too saying it's wrong without it. You can say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's God's providence. And I can't explain it to you.
Well, okay, good. Keep that in mind. Our actions that we engage in, the things that we do, are informed by the Holy Spirit through the Word. When we pray to God for wisdom, God grants us that wisdom providentially, which gives us certain abilities that we might not otherwise have, to ascertain which decision is the right decision, but we know God's providence always works out for the best, for His will in our lives. And so that is a place of trust because of God's power. So those are some important things to talk about. But as we talk about this section, we're going to basically cover three points. The importance of prayer, the idea of intercession, and then we're going to spend just a few moments talking about how to go about it, how to pray. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the importance of prayer because it's something that we have established. And by the way, I put an awful lot of verses in this lesson. I don't know if you noticed that, more than several. And I also miswrote one. There's a passage in I see where it is, in Psalm 145, that I put Psalm 148. So if you'll find that, I think it's the first one under, it's the very first one, isn't it? I was going down beforehand. That's 148, Psalm 148. I mean, 145, not Psalm 148. The Lord is near to those who call upon Him. Yes?
You mentioned the need to know what the needs are. We need to know what the needs are in order to pray effectively for each other. And I think that's really important. I feel that it's tempting sometimes to be either ashamed or embarrassed. You don't want anybody to know what we're going through. But we know that the prayers of a righteous man avail much, and we are surrounded by righteous men in this congregation. So why wouldn't I want them to know as soon as possible and tap into that resource that God has given us? And regardless of what it is, I need y'all to know what it is so y'all can start praying now, because I know that what your prayers can do.
I think that's important, and you're right. Shame comes into it sometimes, especially if it's a failing on our part or if it's some personal or private matter. And we're not going to say that in order to be accepted to God, everything has to be exposed. But we are saying is that if you need God's help, that it doesn't matter what the circumstances of your life is. One of the things that God is going to be able to help you in, the prayers of the saints are going to help in that. One of the things I don't understand is individuals who don't want the prayers unless they found out the diagnosis, or don't want the prayers until they found out the circumstances, or, you know, in other words, hey, you can just go to them and say, listen, I don't know where this is going, but would you please pray for me? And that's a good start right there. And so prayer is twofold with regard to knowing what an individual needs in intercession. It's important for us to recognize, be able to read men enough to recognize when there is a need, or there could be a need. Recognize that all of us have needs, even if we're not in extremis right now. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but we still, all of us have needs. And to get to know individuals so that you can speak more specifically and detail oriented in those regards. But there is also the responsibility Rachel has said, for the one who is in need to make it known, because there are so many who are willing. We are not to be a judgmental people. You know, we are to help one another with sin, and from time to time that takes admonition to those kinds of things. But the idea that I can't say something to someone because I'm afraid of how they will think of me, or what the repercussions of that. If I'm truly penitent and striving to do what's right in God's eyes, and I need someone to speak to God on my behalf, there is nothing that we cannot reveal in regard to that will not be accepted by a good and righteous person. That's okay, you need help in this. I'm more than willing to help you through prayers, through actions, whatever it is that I can do to get you on the right path. I'm willing to do it. So the idea, and remember this, when you think about physical families, we know a lot of the details about our physical families, don't we? Things that nobody else does to a certain extent. We're a spiritual family. And in some ways, that relationship is to extend above even the physical family. And so this same kind of openness that we are to have for one another is very important for us as we seek to help each other get to heaven. Alright? Okay, so let's get into it. I did make note of that Psalm 145, 18, and 19 as the first passage if you want to make that change. And I wanted to emphasize Hebrews 4:16. So there's so many passages here to the importance of prayer. You can get healed with regard to prayer. When you pray, you'll receive what it is that you have need of. We pray to avoid temptation. We are told that God will answer us when we pray, that if we seek and knock, it will be opened to us. And it doesn't matter what it is. If it's in accord with His will, He hears us. Those are all promises that are found in those passages. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I want you to just consider the difference between this and what was the case in the first century, not the first century, in the first covenant, when God kept himself separate from the people to a very great extent. There was the holiest of holies, which is where God was. No one could enter there. And I think that the Hebrew writer, as he's talking about the better things that are under that new covenant, is emphasizing just that. There were limitations with regard to the closeness and the intimacy that men could have with God under that first covenant. Only the high priest could go in once a year to make atonement for the people. But here, because we have a relationship as adopted children, we have the right to approach God's throne through prayer boldly. It's an interesting thing how careful they had to be under the old covenant, and how when they did not take care, they were punished as a result of their lack of respect for God's holiness in the efforts they made. Uzzah touching the ark as an example, or Nadab and Abihu being consumed by fire because of offering strange incense, or those kinds of things. But when we see this passage, it tells us that there's a difference under the new covenant with regard to our relationship. Because now we are adopted children of God, and we inherit the blessings of that relationship where we can cry out to God as our Father. He hears us as adopted children, and he has promised us mercy and grace, and we have the right to basically go to the very foot of God in prayer and make our appeal directly to him with the recognition that he hears us. And so the importance of prayer, again, cannot be something that is overstated in that regard. So anybody want to add anything or any thoughts about, questions about the importance of prayer? Again, I think that's a pretty obvious one, but if you have something you want to share, feel free. That gets us then to the importance of intercession. And again, that's kind of the meat of our lesson today. I want to start off with 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's the first passage in this section, verses 1 and 2. This is an important exhortation that Paul shared with Timothy. He said, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. So, you've heard these kinds of prayers that are offered up in public. Pray for the leaders of our land. Pray for the soldiers in combat. Pray for those who are suffering from a hurricane down in Houston. You know, you just go on and on and on. Again, with special references to prayers offered for those who are not in the family of God, or those we do not have a personal relationship with. That is evidenced in this passage as an important thing. Again, we know, for example, with the kings and all who are in authority, that if we pray on their behalf to the Almighty God, that they make the wise decisions and that they serve God acceptably and that they love him, those kinds of things, that it can help us personally with regard to our ability to live day to day without fear of reprisal, without fear of oppression, those kinds of things. But so there is the leaders. That's an important point. But how often is it that you pray in your private prayers for individuals other than those you know? How often do you spend? Because this is something that should be done again and again and again, something we should be consistent in.
You say people you do know?
Don't know. I know it should be ones we do know, but what about the ones we don't? Because it says for all men here, and that's what I want to keep in mind, which would be inclusive of those you have an understanding of, you know them personally, maybe even your enemies in regard to that, but also individuals in other places and over the world, and you know, it may be general, it may be broad. We pray that all come to a knowledge of truth. Well, that's a prayer for all men. And a lot of the prayers and petitions that Jesus made, you take as example his model prayer that he taught in Matthew chapter 6. It was a general prayer. He wasn't being specific. And it wasn't because specifics are inappropriate. It's just he was teaching them how to pray. These are the kinds of things that you pray for. And that's an important consideration. But all men is something to be kept in mind in regard to this. And there are those three things. supplications and intercessions and prayers. And then the fourth, giving of thanks. Be made for all men. Thanksgiving for men. That's something that is not done often enough. But there is a lot to be thankful for that we need to be aware of. And gives you just as an example, my prayers. As a CLL patient that's about to start a new medicine that I can't even pronounce in about 3 months, well, I need to thank God for those men who came up with that procedure. And do I do it? Do I do it often enough? I don't do it often enough, that's for sure. I'm a little more specific in my prayers possibly than I should be, but that's something that comes to my mind with regard to someone that I can thank. And we take a little wedding joy right now. It's an amazing thing what Cook's children has done for him. Fawn's grandson, because he's been in the NICU or PICU for a couple of weeks now, October 13th, is when he was born. And for the time he was on the ECMO machine, there were two nurses 24 hours a day that never left the room because of the dangers and the sensitivity of the machine and those kinds of things. And it's just an amazing thing what they're doing to help him. We should be thanking them for that. And that should be something in our mindset always. But we don't always do that because we don't think about all men. So I do want to emphasize the importance of interceding for brethren in Christ. But keep in mind the importance of such thanksgiving and such supplications and intercessions being made for everyone. Open up your prayer life is what I'm saying. I'm suggesting you broaden it to where it is broader than it is right now, because it will do good for others and it will also be an encouragement to you to do that. So, any thoughts? Yes, Will.
His will, not ours.
Always.
And, but that's what a lot of people in the world don't understand either. We pray for our enemies. A lot of people pray for Hitler was in house. And the thing that they expected was something that he doesn't offer. They were expecting immediate, some kind of immediate, visible action.
That's something that we actually, James 5:16 is a passage that we have written down in all three of these points. Because it has so much that it says in the short verse, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it tells us certain things that we need to know. But one of the most important ones is an effective prayer. If we are petitioning in an ineffectual way, well, how could it be ineffectual? Well, the first and main thing was, it's not what God wants. But we're praying for it anyway. Well, that's not going to do much good. But if we are doing something that God intends or God is willing to do, it's like Abraham. Was his prayer ineffectual? No, he prayed that if he could find 50 righteous men in Sodom, will you stop? Now, it's according to your will, whatever you want. But if you will, if you can find it, well, yeah, God said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. 40, 30, 20, 20, you know, he just went down the line. But then at the end, it was God's will to destroy the city because he could not find that. So we can, it's important to note this, that in our prayers, we can activate God. I guess that's a kind of weird way to put it. I don't know of a better one. But we can cause God to act. God acts on our behalf, and a specific prayer that we offer may cause God to act in some way. So that's God's providence, God making that decision. And in his providence, he has his will, but he is one. We can take another example with Jonah. As Jonah went to Assyria and said, 40 days, this city's going to be destroyed, and well, let's put on sackcloth and ashes, and let's mourn, and maybe God might relent concerning this thing he said he would do, and he did. And so our petitions can have a part. And it's not just an exercise. That's one of the things I talked with a Christian years and years and years ago. Someone I thought would know better. But his view was that prayer is an exercise. It's something that we do as Christians because we're commanded to do. And it's something that can help us draw closer to God. But he said, in reality, the prayers don't go above this roof. In other words, God has already determined what's going to happen, what his will is. He doesn't need us for that. So it's just our way of showing ourselves as being righteous, I suppose. And And the idea that God's providence is not impacted by the petitions we make is a sad view to have, and it's one that's not accurate at all, because it can make changes in our lives and lives of others. Yes, Rachel.
There's also King Hezekiah. The Lord said, you're going to die. This is it. Now's your time. You're going to die. And he prayed for a long time. And he said, all right. And he gave him 15 more years.
Yeah, that's good. That's another example. There, Bibles replete with them. Yeah. And, but there are also times when Paul prayed that this thorn in the flesh passed from me. And God said, nope, that's not what I want. My grace is sufficient for you. And he could glory in his weaknesses because Christ was his strength. And so it depends on whether it's God's will or not. Now, again, so it affected. Now, we'll get the effective fervent prayer of righteousness of God. I'm not saying if God says no, that it's not an effective prayer. I want that clear. But if there are things we know that God's not going to do, not willing to do, and we pray for him anyway, and we don't get what we're praying for, well, that's because God... You know that God wouldn't allow that to happen. So God saved even though I'm an unrepentant sinner. It's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. And so it's an effective prayer that is under consideration that we need to keep in mind. You can say something if you just think it.
Paul is an interesting study when it comes to those types of things.
We see a little bit of God's providence and God's will working in the ministry and trips and things like that of Paul, because of things that he did not allow to pass, because of some of Paul's preaching, for example, in Acts 17, that God commands all men everywhere to repent, that God allowed certain things to pass, but his will is changing. The fact that Paul wanted to go to one place and God said, no, you're going to go to another. And those kinds of things. We see that. We don't have that same awareness that Paul had as an inspired man concerning God's actions. It's in the background. That's what providence is. But we have faith that God is working. And I'll tell you one thing. I think that when I look at my life, while I'm not going to be dogmatic about anything, I can see God's hand working in my life time and time and time again. About that this worked out well, even though this isn't what I was expecting, not what I wanted, but it's turned out best for me. I have trust and confidence that God had a part in that. That's what God's part of it.
Paul was incredibly passionate person. And he wanted certain things, certain ways, but he understood that God, when God said no, that did not change his resolve of his compassionate love for people that he wanted to help. That he was going to do what God wanted. And I'm not saying disagree with God. I'm not saying disagree with religion. I'm not saying he did. I was okay. I'll do this after. I'm not saying that. But saying Paul, I think it goes all the way back to when he's holding the coast people to death. I think it goes all the way back to that. So much to do.
Well, isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Our desire should be so strong that we're going to jump in. I mean, we talk about the impetuousness of Peter, but there's a reason why Peter was such a strong character in biblical narrative, because he was willing to do what others weren't willing to do. I mean, we criticize Peter for his cowardice as he was on the scene began to sink, but he's the one who jumped out of the boat purple when the others weren't willing to do that. And so I think that our boldness and our willingness to do what we can for the Lord, study God's word, determine what it is, and go and do it, because you don't want to wait for that still small voice or that sign from God or whatever. That's not the way God works. But God will direct you and help you as you're going through those processes. And you just have to study and know what God's will is for you. So we need to have that same attitude that Paul had with regard to doing God's will. I need to get back to the concept of intercession. I'm not going to read the verses, but I do want to note that Ephesians 6 says that our prayer should be made specifically for all the saints. So it is that relationship. We're told in James chapter 5, I said James 5, 16, it was 18, isn't it? James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Luke 7 says to pray for those who spitefully use you. 1 Thessalonians 2:1 gives an example of Paul. He said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. He did this in Philippians 1. In fact, he did most of his letters talk about how he prayed for the brethren. He wasn't just writing it down. He was doing it. And then he would write and tell them that he had done it. So that's a good thing as well. I've got a man, appreciate him very much, and he's amazingly consistent. I don't know how specific he is, but he's a Christian who's, I think, in South Africa. And he just leaves me a Facebook message. So he's a Facebook friend. I don't know him, never met him, never had any interaction with him, but he said, I prayed for you today. And I've got example after example after example. He does it every day. He not only prays, but he lets you know he prays. And he must spend a lot of time in prayer. And I appreciate him very much as a result of that effort, that willingness. Ephesians 1, it says that we are, it's again saying the same thing. Paul made mention of you in my prayers. And so that's an important thing that talking about intercession. Okay? This is our third point, and that is the how to do all portion of our study. How do we pray? Well, 1 John 5 is the one I want to emphasize, but before that, there are two. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a simple one, we're to pray without ceasing. So continuation in prayer. Luke 18, basically the same thing, the parable of the persistent widow. We ought to pray and not lose heart. Pray without ceasing, pray and not lose heart. And then 1 John 5:14-15, the confidence that we have in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So, again, according to his will is the important thing, to know that do not expect God to go against what his will for man is. And I'm reminded even of Jesus' statement in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it is possible for this cup to pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours. He was in the midst of such suffering at that particular time, and it was so hard for him that he was still willing to do God's will. And as he prayed, if there was a different way, that'd be accomplished. But I think as he prayed, he probably knew that there wasn't. And nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he was willing to go through with it. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. In verse 16, again, James 5:16, confess your trespasses. So the confessing of trespasses should be a part. In fact, and this is, again, what we note in Matthew 6 with that prayer. Now there are aspects of each prayer, praise, intercessions, petitions, asking for forgiveness of sins, asking for our daily bread, those kinds of things that he mentioned in that. But he said in preparation for that, verses 5-15, go into your room, pray in secret, do not use vain repetitions, and so as you pray, don't be like the world is in the prayers that you offer, like these other men are. It's a humble, selfless, intimate relationship that you have with God when you pray to God that is only for his ears. Now, I recognize that public prayer is to be offered, and the person not being vain if he offered that prayer, unless he's like the Pharisee in Luke 16, who says, I thank you that I, or 18, I thank you that I'm not like this other man here, this publican. I'm not like him or these other guys. That's vain. But if you have someone who is leading a prayer publicly, he's just putting in mind the thoughts that we all have with regard to the prayers we offer. That's what a prayer leader is. But in your individual prayers, it's between you and God, and it should be that. So keep that in mind. You're not praying to be seen of men. You're praying to be seen by God in secret. We're to have faith, as Mark 11 tells us, that whatever believe that the things that he says, my prayers will be answered by God. We'll have what we ask for, what we need, what we petition. If we lack wisdom, ask God who will supply that wisdom, but ask without doubting. So there has to be that confidence in prayers. And then Romans 12 again tells us that we're to continue steadfastly. So I know that's pretty quick, but again, we don't have a whole lot of time in these lessons to get through all this material. So read it on your own. Take the time to consider and contemplate these things. In the prayers that are the references to prayers here, is there anything that we missed or have not emphasized that you think is important that you want to bring out as well before we get into the questions? Steadfastness, belief, fervency, sincerity in accord with His will. All of these things are extremely important, and we should be mindful of them. It's the very first question. In the first question, I have a reference to Matthew 6. What does Matthew 6 teach to be the major considerations of prayer? Someone want to answer the... I've got four that are put out in this. Major considerations. Not talking about specifics. There's nothing about this prayer that is specific, although the things are mentioned. What would you say the four major components of the prayer are? Or five or six. If you've got any of them, that's fine too. You don't want to start?
Humility and sincerity.
Okay. Yeah, there's supposed to be that. That's not what I was thinking, but that's exactly true. Arlene, did you have something?
Well, humans take out the heart that wants the best for somebody who does.
And that goes from the forgive the trespasses
part. Say you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
So, with regard to the actual model prayer, what I was thinking of in this is, first of all, there is praise to God. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that praise to God start off with. Second, there is an acknowledgement that the disposition of every petition we make ultimately will be answered according to His will. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it was God's will that we're praying for being accomplished on this earth. The third thing would be the petitions themselves, and both physical and spiritual in nature, forgive us of our sins, give us this day our daily bread. And you can, and by the way, this is where I say it's not a specific prayer, it's a model prayer. So people are missing this in the religious world today when they take this prayer and they recite it by rote. It's not intended to be recited by rote. It's just, in other words, you memorized it, and it's something we do before a football game, or it's something that we do as a part of a service or something like that. It's not intended that to be that at all. In fact, again, we've talked about how that there is one aspect of the prayer that would not be appropriate to be recited because it says thy kingdom come when it already did. And it wouldn't be an acknowledgement of His will being done in that regard if we quoted it as it was said. So, but the petitions themselves are an important part of prayer. God, please help me in this. Please help me in that. I had this problem this week and I need your help. Please forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of this sin, this sin, this sin, this sin. Not just my sins in general, but specifying the things that I've done to displease God in my life. So those kinds of petitions, when we pray individually, should be many, not limited. Which we'll get to in another question is how we can make sure we don't miss any of them. Because that's an important thing to consider as well. The fourth thing then is the final acknowledgement of God's preeminence in the world. By His glory, the honor forever, amen. I mean, the recognition of in that model prayer of the fact that God is in control ultimately. So praise, acknowledgement of His preeminence, the petitions that we make, as well as the acknowledgement of His will being done on earth. Those things ought to be present in your word. I don't know if the prayer is not suitable if you don't put it in specific words on that particular occasion or not. I don't think that's the case at all. And I'm not holding myself up as an example in that. There are so many men who do a better job of praying publicly than I do. You guys have a lot more practice of it than I do. I do it occasionally, but not as often as some of the other men do. But I try to keep that in mind. I try to start every prayer with thanksgiving. I'm not with thanksgiving, with praise to God. And then I try to include both physical and spiritual petitions in the prayer. And to acknowledge God's will be done in all things and give Him glory. That's something that we ought to do as we pray to God. After all, He is God. We are the petitioners. And we need to always keep that in mind. Okay? Second question. What are typical needs of others that we might include in our intercessory prayers? When we're praying on behalf of others, what might we be praying for? Some of them are simple.
Your health.
Health. Okay, health is one.
Spiritual well-being.
Okay.
Health.
Spiritual well-being. Well, again, whether it's separate or the same, doesn't matter. It's another thing that surely we bring up. Any other?
Strength of temptations, if you know what they are.
Right, for sure. Sure. And that, again, if you're intercessory, that brother so-and-so is really struggling with this, and please help him to be strong. That would be something to do. What about prayer for their faith? Just praying that their faith may, which would be a strengthening as well, but pray that they may become faithful, may be steadfast in faith. Pray for courage, pray for steadfastness, pray that they might accept Jesus as their Savior, be accepting of those things. Yes?
I always try to make a point to pray for my observation ability to notice when I'm given opportunities. I find that I'm pretty bad about that. And so I try to pray for that.
And that's important not only because God will supply those things for you, knock you over the head with them sometimes, but also in praying that God show me the needs, show me what others may need, help me to be observant, those kinds of things. It puts it in your own mind because you're willing to do your part in that regard, so that's an important thing as well. We're talking here, anybody have any more petitions on behalf of someone else though? You know, there are many others, but I do want you to note that, and it depends on the specifics of that particular time, those are some broad examples that we can give, but how many of those were spiritual in nature and what we brought up? And so it is, again, something we will do, pray for someone's health, pray for someone's physical welfare, because they're in extremis at that time. They're having a difficult time. They're really struggling and hurting, and we want them to overcome that and to be able to handle those kinds of things. But there are spiritual things that are primary that we need to be praying for. We don't need to forget that when we're praying on behalf of others. Am I using that wrong?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you. Because you smiled when I said it.
I understood it.
Okay. All right. An extremist, that means in that they're in a really tough spot, just the extreme of their experiences. Okay. Third thing. What constitutes an effective prayer to our Father in heaven? And as James 5 tells us, the fervency in accord with God's will. I keep putting James 5, 15, 16 in this wrong reference. But the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man does much. It has reference to fervency, being in accord with God's will, and being a righteous petitioner. And might I add to that that you have to ask God in faith, not doubt. So that's another thing to point out in regard to it. So not all prayers will be answered. You have to approach it in a certain way. Any other things? Yes, better. Oh, you use the prayer. Anybody else?
The most important one I can think of, something like this, is humility. Bible.
Good. Humility. That's a really good thing. You don't approach God with arrogance at any time, because you know who God is. And that's one thing that David is really good at. You can see in his Psalms. How when he was truly penitent and he cried out to God, he acknowledged God's greatness and God's preeminence and was very humble before him. We should as well.
Melvin Curry has a lesson that's really good. It's about prayer. And he grew up before the Depression. So in this lesson, he said, how long has it been, since you've seen men that
I'm young enough, so I've only seen it happen twice.
And then he says, how long has it been since y'all seen someone heal in their face?
Wow.
And I can remember this when I was very young, and it was incredibly impressive because most of these men were not leaders. They were big men. They said, big man, get down. Man, and other people were offering prayers. I've never seen a man with a face. He was asking. And he was drawing this humility. How important it is before the Father to prostrate ourselves in such a way. And it helps us. Because he helps us when we help us, when we do these things.
Good point. Yeah, you can see that in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in the prayers. The Pharisee lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, God, raise his eyes in heaven, and the publican would not even so much as look into heaven as he prostrated himself and prayed to God. So there is that distinction in demeanor that we need to keep in mind with our prayers. Okay, how might our prayers, prayers for one another help our relationship? I'll just put this, it takes knowledge to have an informed prayer so we get to know each other. Expressions of love, prayer is an expression of love. People appreciate being prayed for. They have knowledge that you're caring for them in prayers, and that's an important thing as well. All right? Anybody else? We're out of time. Fifth one and final one, examine your daily prayer life. Is there room for improvement? I'm not going to ask you to answer that, but any suggestions? I have a prayer list, or a prayer journal, as it's called from time. Set times. Remember how Daniel, as was from his early days, after he was told you can't pray to God anymore, he went, opened the windows toward Jerusalem, and he prayed three times that day, just like he always had. A set time is something that can really help you. So I didn't get to it today, or I was too busy, or I didn't get up early enough. If you make a schedule, because that's going to be the most important thing to do in your life. I'm not saying you can't pray any time, because you certainly can. But I think your prayer life would improve and you would pray more often if you set times. Have scheduled times that you pray. Nothing else can be done at that half hour or at that 15 minutes or whatever the case may be, because that's always set aside for prayer. Be a good thing to do. And, you know, list of prayer requests, those are the two things that I emphasize. Anybody else? That gets us to the things to do. Okay, so this is my suggestion. We've only got a minute left. Pick a different person or persons each week to include in your daily prayers. Check with them for specific spiritual or physical needs, but just pray for them in general as well. Prayers made for all men. Pray for what someone specifically does in our congregation, maybe someone you don't pray for often. Keep a prayer journal, which is that list that we're talking about. Take a personal worksheet each Sunday, because that's a list that is given so that we'll know who has special needs and what those needs are. Make at least one special prayer request per month using the cards, those green cards. Okay, so this is a person I can pray for. This is a need that we have as a congregation, or this is something that I have need of personally. Doesn't have to, as Justin said, doesn't have to be, you sign your name, it can be completely anonymous, but pray for a need. Especially a need for our congregation, a need for the world, whatever the case may be. Do that at least once a month. We can have many of those cards made up. There's no limit to the cards we can have, and it doesn't take but a moment or two for us to include those things in our prayer. And then get more specific in your petitions on behalf of others. In other words, don't just say, we pray for everybody. You pray for saints the world over. We pray for all men everywhere. Well, those are okay, especially when you've got a public prayer that doesn't want to go on for 20 minutes in prayer. But you can do that in your private prayer with specific people, specific needs, specific circumstances. Be more specific in your prayers. Anybody have anything you want to add to that? Because I know that I...